His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good, he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks, for he is good. He is good, he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good, he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks, for he is good. For his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds, give thanks to the Lord. He is good, he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks, for he is good. For his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds, give thanks to the Lord. He is good, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good, he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks, for he is good. Yes, give thanks, for he is good. God sent his Son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. God is good.
God is good. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Dan. Wonderful reminder that God is good, and because he lives, we can see tomorrow. Before I read the gospel message and ask you to stand for the hearing and the reading of it this morning, I do want to recall that every third Monday in January, we get to celebrate the life and the legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was born on January the 15th. And so we celebrate his birth, we celebrate his life, and we celebrate him. This evening, actually 4 o'clock today, at the Oakmont United Methodist Church. You can tune in on Facebook. There is a special service for Martin Luther King Day, which is tomorrow. But the Reverend Deborah Mason will be speaking, and she's wonderful. So I encourage you, if you have the time, at 4 o'clock today, you can go online and see that. But you don't have to do it at 4 o'clock today. After it's on YouTube, you can go back and visit it so you can watch it tomorrow or the next day or the next day. But I encourage you to do that. Some of my favorite quotes of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. are these, and I share them with you. He said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Then he goes on to say, "So I have decided to stick to love. Hate is too great a burden to bear." And then speaking about faith, he said these words, "Faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase." When you think about his life and what it was that he intended to do for his life, and that is to do something like I'm doing now, because that's what he was. He was a pastor. But the social justice movement and all of that came and was really thrust upon him. He was asked to speak. And as he spoke, he became the natural leader of the cause. And he did it with peace. He did it with justice. He did it with dignity. And he did it with faith. The faith that he had was what the genius of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was all about. Because he saw the greater good in all these things, and he saw social injustice, but he also knew that he has a God that overcame all of these things, and he was looking forward. He had a dream. He was looking forward to a better day, and we all are looking forward to a better day. One of the other quotes that I love from him is, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." We have those times today, don't we? Times of challenge and times of controversy. Where do you stand during these times? And then these words, "No one really knows why they are alive until they know what they would die for." That's profound. What are you willing to die for? And then these words, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude." We need to have that attitude. And then these words, "Those who are not looking for happiness are the most likely to find it." I want to say that again. "Those who are not looking for happiness are the ones who are most likely to find it, because those who are searching forget the surest way to be happy is to seek the happiness of others." And then now this last one. "Now there is a final reason I think that Jesus says, love your enemies. It is this, that love has within a redemptive power, and there is power there eventually transforms individuals. Just keep being friendly to that person. Just keep loving them. And they can't stand it too long. Oh, they react in many ways in the beginning. They react with guilt feelings, and sometimes they'll hate you with a little more at that transition period. But just keep loving them. And by the power of your love, they will break down under that load." That's love. You see, it's redemptive. And this is why Jesus says love. There's something about love that builds us up, and it's creative. There is something about hate that tears down and is destructive. So love your enemies. Aren't those good words? He lived by those words, and he gave those words as an example for all of us to follow. So we celebrate his life tomorrow, and we do it because I think he is worthy of that remembrance. Would you please stand with me for the hearing and the reading of this morning's gospel message that comes to us from Luke's gospel, the third chapter, verses 15 and 16, and then concluding with the 21st through the 22nd verse. Hear these words. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And so then ends the reading of his most holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. And I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of mercy, God of love, God of righteousness, and God of peace, we give you thanks always and every way for the gift of your holy word. For your word transforms us, your word builds us up, your word exposes who we are and whose we are. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the gift of the living word, Jesus the Christ, who is your Son, our Messiah, our Lord. Allow us to follow him in all the ways that lead to life everlasting. Allow us to embrace the commands that he gave to us to love one another even as we love ourselves. And so, Lord, today we just thank you for the gift that we have to be yours, to remember the waters of our baptism, to come and to be renewed and be refreshed, and to be reminded that your Holy Spirit is ever present, and that we might listen to you, that we might heed your voice, and that we might be and become the people that you created us to be. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For this in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Well, I had longed for you to be in this place as we were making these changes, and we were really looking forward to having you here on Christmas Eve. But then with the governor's orders, and it was right that we did what we did in shutting down, because we didn't want to be a part of continuing the spread, and we wanted to keep people safe, and so we have done the things that I think are necessary, that we can come back together and be in this place and be able to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And we've invited people, you know, from a whole congregation, and also within the community to also to continue to worship with us online. It's probably never going to go away. When you think about it, I think this is part of the new normal, that there will be people because of schedules, because of this, because of that, whatever it is, or because they're sick, or because they're afraid, and there's no reason that you can't be afraid. I mean, there's reason to be afraid of this virus. It's very real, and we want people to be safe. But we also believe that we can join together, just as you can go to the Giant Eagle and get groceries and wear your mask and be safe and wash your hands, keep socially distant. We can do that here. We can do that in a way that's respectful. We can do that here. And we can have the benefit of God's Spirit in each one of us as we gather together. There he is in the midst of us, and so we celebrate that today. I had longed also that normally what we do at the beginning of each year on the baptism of the Lord Sunday, we would, and the baptism of the Lord Sunday and the Epiphany fell at the same time, But no one was here, so we couldn't have done the baptismal remembrance in a good way with people not being present. We could have done it online, and people could have remembered and things like that. But we're doing that today. But we needed the physical presence of you as worshipers, and so thank you for being in this place today. I love being in this church. I love this congregation. I love your heart for worship. I love your heart for ministry in this place. And I love your faithfulness in your giving and your faithfulness in loving God and loving others. And so I celebrate your presence here today. And I want to share with you how important it is for me that you are here. It helps me. It helps me to see physical presence of God. It helps me to look into your eyeballs and helps me to see God's presence in you. And I can honestly say that's what I see when I look out and see you. I see the presence of God in this place. So thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is promised to us in our baptism. And just as Jesus, the Holy Spirit, came upon him as a reminder, and God, the Father, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In another gospel message, it says, "Listen to him." Listen to Jesus. God instructs us to listen to Jesus. Jesus comes to the baptism, and we talked about this here a couple of weeks ago, that he comes to this baptism, John's baptism, of repentance. A baptism of turning around. Repentance, the Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which means change your mind. But it's also a command to turn around. Move in a 180-degree direction than you've been going in. In other words, if you're not moving in God's way, you need to turn around and come back to God's way. So John, who was preparing the way for the Lord that was coming in, was out in the desert baptizing people in the Jordan River, a baptism of repentance, a baptism of coming to know that we fall short of God's glory, that we need God to do something in us, that we can't do it on our own. So they went to those waters and they were baptized. And those were the people that first believed that Jesus was the Christ. John told them, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But the Pharisees who weren't baptized by John, the Pharisees that didn't go into the Jordan River and be baptized, they were back and they were looking and they were evaluating, but they didn't have that spirit that they needed something different. They had the law. They had the word. And they thought they were all cleaned up. They thought they were made holy, holy, holy. You know what? I wear this holy, 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 but I'll tell you that you know me, that I'm not holy, holy, holy. That it's God's holiness, that it's his blanket of grace upon the soul that cleans us up and makes us acceptable to God the Father. I think it was Holly that was talking about the snow, and I think Tom talked about the snow falling and covering the ground, right? It just covers all the impurities. It's just this white fallen snow. That's what baptism is for us. We are shrouded in his grace. And we have to understand that we need that grace, so we come to this baptism. Now, when John was baptizing, he was doing the baptism of repentance, of turning around, and Jesus comes to that place. He comes to the Jordan River. And John says to him, "I'm not worthy to untie your sandals. I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me." But Jesus says, no, we must do that so that all righteousness might be fulfilled. Now, Jesus, who is sinless, who was born without sin, he's the holy birth, right? Is God manifested in Mary, this perfect human being. So he's fully human, but he's fully divine at the same time. And Jesus never sins. And that's why when he goes to the cross, that his sacrifice is sufficient, that there's no blemish in him. And yet he comes to this baptismal place at the Jordan River, and he submits himself to the will of God the Father. Jesus, who has the perfect will along with his Father, because the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, are all together in perfect communion with one another all the time. They have the same purpose. They have the same plan for humanity. And they're all the same in a perfect love union all the time. And yet Jesus comes to the waters of baptism and says, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. We see that later on in his life, when after Jesus' baptism and the Holy Spirit had taken him out into the desert for a period of testing. Okay, Jesus is perfect in the testing. He doesn't fall prey to Satan's whims. He doesn't fall prey when Satan says, bow down and worship me and I'll give you everything. You know, I'll just hand it over to you. No, Jesus wasn't taking any shortcuts. And then scripture tells us that Satan left Jesus for a more opportune time. Well, what would be a more opportune time than the time he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And Jesus, knowing he's going to his death, knowing that he's going to the cross, knowing that it's going to hurt. Remember, he's fully human. He feels like we do. He has pain like we do. He suffers like we do. And he knows what he's about to do. And he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, Father, if you could remove this cup from me. It's the cup of suffering. It's the cup of his mission. But he says these words, nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. He submits. He continues to submit himself. In the first reading today, we found out when the early apostles came to people, they came upon people that did not know yet the Holy Spirit, because they had been baptized by John. They had John's baptism. But when they baptized them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they received the Holy Spirit. We, today, when we baptize, God gifts us with his own Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will be with us forever. But one of the things we're allowed to do is we can ignore the Holy Spirit in our life. Have you ever done that? You don't have to answer that. But you know you have. I have. Where, you know, God's tweaking you. He's talking to you. He's giving you truth. And you kind of, because you want to do your own thing. Father, my will, not yours be done. And you want to go your own way. And you want to do your own thing. And the Holy Spirit is countering that, whispering in your ear. But the Holy Spirit is a gentle person. He doesn't invade you. He doesn't make you do something that you're not willing to do. The Holy Spirit invites. The Holy Spirit will also convict with truth. The Holy Spirit will show you yourself, show you your shortcomings, always for the purpose of reconciliation and redemption, always for the purpose of turning your life around so that you might go in the way that leads to life everlasting. Jesus submits himself to John's baptism, but John says, there's one that comes after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm reminded when you hear that, and when you hear about Jesus when he was encountering Nicodemus, somewhere around midnight, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he calls him good master. We know that you must be from God because you couldn't do the things that you have done without God being with you. And Jesus goes on to tell Nicodemus, you can't know the things of heaven unless you've been born of water and the Spirit. Born of water and the Spirit. No one can come and enter the kingdom of heaven unless they're born of water and the Spirit. And Nicodemus couldn't get it. Jesus says to him, well, you're the teacher of Israel. You should know this stuff. What he should have known was in the Old Testament, book of Ezekiel, where God is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel in the 36th chapter, beginning with verse 24, for I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land, and I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. You hear that? I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people. And I will be your God of water and the Spirit. It's mystical. In the United Methodist Church, we look at it as a mystery. It's a mysterium. We don't know exactly how God does it, but God does do it, because what God says he's going to do, God does. God's word is eternal, and his word is unchanging. And when he says he's going to clean us up, he'll clean us up. So we have this baptism that we come and we bring infants, when usually the font is over there, and we bring infants to that font. And we ask the questions, that are age-old questions of the church. And we ask the parents if they will do all these things. Will you submit to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Will you put all your trust in his grace and follow his commands and his decrees? I will. I do. I do. I do. I do. So we're going to do that today. We're going to remember our baptismal covenant, and we're going to do those things today so that we would re-energize. Now, this Bible tells us very clearly that there's only one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. So this is not a baptism. It's a recollection. It's a remembrance of the baptism. It's a renewal. And also it allows God's Holy Spirit to just dwell in us richly. Because remember that Holy Spirit never leaves us nor ever forsakes us. A couple of years ago when I was interviewing candidates for ministry, and we were talking about baptism, and we were talking about the qualities of baptism, and one of the questions that we asked the candidates that day was, are you allowed to quench the Holy Spirit? Are you allowed to just ignore the Holy Spirit? And can you do that in your life? And can you live? And this one person, I remember their answer is, yes, certainly you can dismiss or you can ignore the Holy Spirit. The Bible is very clear about that, that you can ignore the Holy Spirit in your life. But then they added, but why would you want to? After all, this is God who created you. This is God who has a purpose and a plan for your life. This is God who wants the best for you. Why would you want to quench the Holy Spirit in your life? I said, yes. But you know the reasons why people want to quench the Holy Spirit is because you think your way is a better way, or you're afraid of where God's going to send you next. You don't know, like what Reverend Martin Luther King said, the faith is about taking the first step onto a staircase where you don't know where it ends. That's what following the Holy Spirit is like. But the Holy Spirit doesn't lead you in areas that are bad for you. Holy Spirit is there to build you up, to reconcile you to the way that God has intended for you, and to give you life and to give you a purpose. So today, in a few minutes, we're going to pray blessings over this water that's up here. Normally, I would anoint you with the water, but we actually went and secured this Aspirillium. And what it does is it will sprinkle you. So we're going to ask that you come up if you would like to remember the waters of your baptism. You can stand 6 feet away from me, and I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you will be clean. So let us go to God in prayer. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those in the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in water in the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all the nations, to declare his work to the nations, his glory among the peoples. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless the gift of this water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in a righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.